The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast, episode 63.
Episode 63, and we are doing this for the second time now.
And practice makes perfect, y'all. Hey. And I practiced reading today
for 30 minutes straight, so we're going to go ahead and try this again.
We had some
tech demons.
Our normal tech demons that are on the daemon, which if you any of you coders out there, which I am not, you'll get the daemon reference. And it is interesting how where the word demon came from and the whole daemon jargon. And a lot of this stuff is pretty much from the pits of hell. I'm not, but, you know, we're going to use it for the good that we can use it for.
So what are we going to be covering in today's podcast? Just give me the list of everything we're going to be going through.
I wanted to cover two topics. The main topic was I wanted to ask the question. Is Bitcoin killing you? Bum, bum, bum.
Uh-oh.
So that should be interesting. So stay tuned.
What's the next one?
And then the next one was a circling back, like Jen Psaki wanted to circle back on the Trump assassination to cover just a really quick soundbite on that that I thought was very interesting and that I just heard immediately before we started the previous podcast 30 to 40 minutes ago.
How the narrative just keeps changing and changing and
continues to morph in real time.
I think with this, but this time though, there were so many people there recording everything. It's making it really, really tricky.
Well, here, I'm gonna lay a new theory on you, even when it comes to that. If I can remember,
you want to write it down?
Write that down.
Okay,
let's go.
But yeah. So anyway, while you're doing that, everything's been doing good on the farm. We'll have a farm check too. But also later in the video, we will be talking about the local beef pickup. So stay tuned for that. If you are in the Northeast Texas area, we'll give you the whole rundown on that later in the episode.
That sounds great. So first, what I'll do is I'm going to bring up the article. I'm going to link this article down below. This is a Time Magazine article. It was originally published on July 8th, and then some parts of it were updated on July 16th, because now in journalism, you no longer have to retract things or apologize. You can just edit in real time and then you can make it look like you were always right. And I'm not saying, I have no idea what was done here, but this is a new postmodern trend in post-truth America when it comes to journalism and to print. They no longer have to.
They probably used ChatGPT and it did some false junk in there. So they had to go back in and edit it though. It could be something. Well,
there's
like
a lot
that.
Of that going on too.
Oh yeah.
There's very little writing or journalism or even thought anymore.
Sadly,
in postmodern, post-truth,
clown world
3.0.
Shirt coming out very soon.
We do have a new beef T-shirt coming.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. Has the Texas flag inside beef on a steer, which is like super cool. And then I'm going to actually edit that actually and just either put like shake a rancher's hand or know your rancher, something like that on the bottom
of it.
Sounds
great.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
All good advice.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay. So on an evening in December 2023, 43-year-old small business owner Sarah Rosenkrantz collapsed in her home in Granbury, Texas. Another reason why I found this article fascinating, it originates in Texas, which we're in Texas.
Yeah.
Articles in Texas. And it references the historic town of Granbury. So maybe, Matt, y'all have been to Granbury.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went to the super awesome courthouse there, which is made out of like limestone, I'm pretty sure. And we actually, it was so awesome. Okay. So we're looking at this super sweet ancient courthouse, which has some super sweet Civil War monuments there that haven't been torn down by crazy purple-haired people that work at Starbucks. And yeah, and so we were reading them and everything like that. And the sheriff of Granbury comes up and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And he was super cool guy, all cowboyed up, you know, with his felt hat and everything like that. And we were all cowboyed up and everything like that. And he's like, "Oh, come on in." And he showed us his office and the ancient courtroom that was in like the second or third story of the place. It was so cool. I think we even got a tour of like the little jail that they used to have in there too. It was really, really cool.
There's also substantial, I can't recall off the top of my head, there's substantial Texas history that occurred there.
Yes, but it's slipping away from me right now. But yeah, I don't know if that was like one of the first courthouses in Texas.
Something
I don't, you know, don't. Yeah. But anyway, something like that.
Yeah. So let's get back to the topic at hand. But yeah. So Matt and I think all y'all, I don't think I was there that day. Mm-mm. Y'all got to go to Granbury. You got to meet the county sheriff.
And none of this crap was happening, at least when we were walking around there. I don't know what year that would have been, though. Maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, so it'd probably be before this.
Yeah. Occurred,
but
yeah, there was no buzzing or anything crazy happening.
So Sarah Rosencrantz collapsed in her home in Granbury, Texas, and was rushed to the emergency room. Her heart pounded 200 beats per minute. Her blood pressure spiked into hypertensive crisis. Her skull throbbed. It felt like my head was in a pressure vise being crushed, she says. The pain was worse than childbirth. Wow.
Mm.
Rosencrantz's migraine lasted for 5 days. Doctors gave her several rounds of IV meds and painkiller shots, but nothing seemed to knock down the pain, she said. This was odd, especially because local doctors were similarly vexed when Indigo, Rosencrantz's five-year-old daughter, was taken to urgent care earlier that year, screaming that she felt a red beam behind her eardrums. It didn't occur to Sarah that these symptoms could be linked. But in January of 2024, she walked into a town hall in Granbury and found a room full of people worn thin from strange debilitating illnesses. A mother said her 8-year-old daughter was losing her hearing and fluids were leaking from her ears. Several women said they experienced fainting spells, including while driving on the highway. Others said that they were racked by debilitating vertigo and nausea, waking up in the middle of the night mid-vomit. Wowzers. None of them knew what exactly was causing these symptoms, but they all shared a singular grievance. A dull, aural hum had crept into their lives, which growled or roared depending on the time of day, rattling their windows and rendering them unable to sleep. The hum, local law enforcement had learned, was emanating from a Bitcoin mining facility that had recently moved into the area and was exceeding legal noise ordinances on a daily basis. Now, another thing that I wanted to point out about this Bitcoining mining facility is that in addition to these Bitcoining mining facilities, there are also data centers that are creating these exact same issues. Other issues that both of these types of facilities are creating are cooling issues and coolant, where they're redirecting municipal water supplies and different things, creating...
That's even bigger than Bitcoin.
Water shortages, and then they're using enormous amounts of power, and they're also robbing the local community of power, and they're creating brownouts and all these other...
Yeah.
You know, issues that they're creating for people that are trying to live their life. Okay. Over the course of several months in 2024, Time spoke to more than 40 people in the Granbury area who had reported a medical ailment that they believe is connected to the arrival of the Bitcoin mine: hypertension, heart palpitations, chest pain, vertigo, tinnitus, migraines, panic attacks. At least 10 people went to urgent care or the emergency room with these symptoms. The development of large-scale Bitcoin mines and data centers is quite new. So this is a lot like seed oils, y'all. Seed oils are very new. They're this new thing that's occurred in the last 100 years. We do not know.
Same with Ozempic.
What the long-term side effects are. Do you know, speaking of Ozempic.
Uh-oh. Wait a second. I think we have 1 second. Where is it? Dude, do we not have it on here? Oh, here it is. All right. The more you know. Go ahead.
Ozempic is now the most prescribed prescription in America.
No way. So
welcome to America. You no longer need to eat right. You no longer need to diet and exercise.
Oh, no.
All you need is you
take the pill.
You've been lacking Ozempic.
Is it a pill or a shot?
It's a shot.
Ugh, of course.
And you shoot yourself in the tummy.
Do you do it yourself or does the doctor do it?
I think you do it yourself because I think you got to do it every day.
No.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. And they used to people with heroin. Oh, my goodness. What in the world? Now people are giving themselves shots.
Well, what's the other thing that they do? The surgery to your stomach? I always forget.
A gastral sleeve.
And there's so much a heavy duty keto or a carnivore diet fixes that piece of cake.
That's way too. That takes way too much time. I'd just rather have also a mesh sleeve.
Also, over my tummy. We are not doctors, and this is a comedy show, and this is all comedy, and. Yeah, we are not doctors.
Thank you for consult, the public service.
Consult your doctors.
Consult your doctor and then do the opposite of whatever he tells you and you'll probably survive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see.
But this is a comedy show. So
there have been no major medical studies on the impacts of living near a Bitcoin mine or data center.
Well, duh. I mean,
but there is an increasing body of scientific studies linking prolonged exposure to noise pollution with cardiovascular damage. And one local doctor, ear, nose, and throat specialist, Salim Balu, says he sees patients with symptoms potentially stemming from the Bitcoin mine's noise on almost a weekly basis. I'm sure it increases their cortisol and sugar levels. So you're getting headaches, vertigo, and it snowballs from there, Ballou says. This thing is definitely causing a tremendous amount of stress. Everyone is just miserable about it. Not all data centers make noise, and industry insiders say they have a technical fix for the ones that do, which involves replacing their facilities' loud air fans with much quieter liquid-based cooling solutions. But some of their touted methods, including immersion cooling in oil, are expensive and untested on a large scale. A representative for Marathon Digital Holdings, the company that owns the mine, did not answer questions about the health impacts, but told Time that it is working to remove the noisy fans from the site. By the end of 2024, we intend to have replaced the majority of air-cooled containers with immersion cooling, with no expansion required. Initial sound readings on immersion containers indicate favorable results in sound reduction and compliance with all relevant state noise ordinances, they wrote in an email. The number of commercial scale Bitcoin mining operations in the U.S. has increased sharply over the last few years. There are now at least 137. Similar medical complaints have been registered near facilities in Arkansas and North Dakota. And the Bitcoin mining industry is urgently trying to push bills through state legislatures, including in Indiana and Missouri, which would exempt Bitcoin mines from local zoning or noise ordinances. In May, Oklahoma Governor Ken Stitt signed a Bitcoin rights bill to protect miners and prevent any future attempts to ban the industry. So now we see these lobbying groups manipulating the District of Criminals and all these bureaucratic legislative bodies to poison the people, you know, and this is the postmodern problem with so-called capitalism, which is now public-private partnerships or crony capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And these public-private partnerships create, total trash, and it destroys the citizenry, and we are poisoned, and we are left with the scraps while the transnational mega corporations and their crony criminal district or criminal buddies were state legislators that they all payola and pay into the system and pay to play.
Yeah, all in bed with. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all in bed together and they all aggrandize themselves. And mm-hmm. here, Granny and the Rosencrantzes of the world reap the whirlwind of mm-hmm. the devastation of whether it's EMF pollution, dirty electricity, or yep. whether it's dirty sound pollution, yep. you know, and they have to put these facilities in rural areas. You know, they can't yeah. put them on the top of a skyscraper. You there know what you I mean? Go. Like, who wants to listen to that crap? You know, people in the cities, they love listening to that noise all the mm-hmm. time. They can't go to sleep. So put it there. Why do they yeah. need to pollute the rural landscapes with this?
And we're not against Bitcoin or anything like that.
No, I'm not against Bitcoin at all. I mean, this is obviously an issue. And I know, you know, pro Bitcoiners are going to say oh, they're just trying to demonize Bitcoin.
Sure.
These are definite issues. There are power issues with Bitcoin. It takes an inordinate amount of power.
Yeah.
And there are noise issues with Bitcoin. And these issues need to be addressed. They don't need to be just deregulated.
Yeah.
While some Granbury residents are fiercely protecting the mine, many others feel powerless to alter the will of the company with legal, political, and financial might. And the data center industry at large is only growing more dominant thanks to the twin forces of Bitcoin mining and AI, the latter which spends a vast amount of energy training generative models to find patterns and data sets. According to a recent report, all data centers will use 8% of total U.S. power by 2030, up from 3%. So they're going to use 5% more of the country's total power when we have a failing grid with a weaker electrical supply, now that we're not using as much oil, gas, and coal because we want to go green and we want to use these great solar panels and wind farms that don't work. And then we want to plug in these electronic vehicles that are powered by gas and coal generation.
All these other substitutes are
so while the Bitcoin mines
that they make are so terrible
yeah, for so the environment. While Bitcoin is going to consume more electric, while electric vehicles are going to consume more electric. Meanwhile, you know, we're going to convert everything to solar panels and to wind generators, which will produce less electric. It's creating a crisis. It's creating a power crisis.
And it's all planned too, because it's 2024. We have stinking technology to make green energy. You know, we do, period. I mean, the perfect example is, dude, if we put some turbines or whatever on every dam in America, the amount of power we could produce would be incredible, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's efficient ways to do this.
Yeah. Stuff.
They just refuse to do anything. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
If operators continue to locate the centers near existing communities and prioritize profits above all else, then the story of Granbury could become the story of countless small towns across America. Granbury sits about an hour southwest of Fort Worth in Hood County, which houses mostly rural and Republican.
Those dirty
rural Republicans.
Republicans.
There's about 65,000 dirty Republicans there in Granbury. It's about a 15-minute drive south of Granbury's charming historic town center, which includes a 19th century opera house. Lies a glass plant called Wolf Hollow 2. Driving towards the plant on a windy pre-dawn morning in May, it rises out of the skies like an oil rig in a pitch-black ocean, lights ablaze. But the glowing glass plant never caused substantial issues for the local residents. Rather, the problem started when Constellation Energy, which operates the plant, signed a deal in 2021 to power a new Bitcoin mining facility that would sit directly on its lot. The new facility consisted of 163 squat metal boxes resembling shipping containers, which house a total of 30,000 computers. These computers started running in the summer of 2022 and seemed to be switched on all day and night. As of December of 2023, the Granbury Mine is owned by Marathon, one of the largest Bitcoin holders in the world, a transnational megacorporation, I am sure. The computers power a process called proof-of-work mining. Rather than relying on central bank or government agency, Bitcoin is created, maintained, and guarded by watchdogs around the world known as miners who prevent tampering through a complex cryptographic process and are rewarded with Bitcoin for doing so. Bitcoin's first supporters hoped that this new system would support a global digital currency that would bring freedom, financial fairness, and wealth to its adopters. But the system also requires an immense and ever-increasing amount of electricity. While Bitcoin's first miners were solo operators often working out of their bedrooms, the industry is now dominated by a handful of billion-dollar corporations who operate industrial-sized server farms across the globe. In the month of March of 2024 alone, the Bitcoin mining industry generated a record $2 billion in revenue in 1 month. That's the month of March. $2 billion. Wow. Much of the American Bitcoin mining industry can now be found in Texas, home of giant power plants, lax regulations.
Why can't it be California?
And crypto-friendly politicians.
I would really give a crap. Like, I would not care if they did all this crap in California. But, like, of course, like, let's pick Texas.
Why in not? October of 2021, Governor Greg Abbott hosted the lobbying group Texas Blockchain Council at the governor's mansion. I dislike
that guy deeply.
The group insisted that their industry would help the state's overtaxed energy grid. Okay, so we're going bring a energy-intensive product to the state of Texas. And somehow, magically, it's going to help our state's.
Well, this genius hasn't had the best track record with managing our electrical grid at all. Because if you think, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and we still don't know the deal
Snowmageddon.
He sold off
a bunch of our electricity right before the snowstorm that he knew about. And then guess what? You know, we all went black here in Texas and it was really bad.
Oh, but wait, here you go. So now you're going to find out how they're going to fix our overtaxed energy grid. So during energy crisis, miners would be one of the few energy customers able to shut off upon request.
Oh,
it didn't say that they would. It said that they would be able to shut off upon request, provided that they were paid
the taxpayers
in exchange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After meeting with the lobbyist, Abbott tweeted that Texas would soon be the number one state for blockchain and cryptocurrency. Thank you, Greg Abbott.
Turd.
We love you, buddy. You're
turd on wheels.
You're a great American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great politician.
The following month, the Commissioner's Court of Hood County approved the development of a cryptocurrency operation at Wolf Hollow. The owners promised local jobs and said that they would mostly use stranded energy that would otherwise go unused. So for all of y'all that aren't familiar with this stranded. Now, I don't know if this is like a play on words when they say stranded and they're talking about like copper wires and electrical wire.
I don't know.
When they're saying that they're going to use stranded, but this sounds like,
what does that mean?
A super con job to me.
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as stranded energy that goes unused. And if there was such a thing, how would they be able to reclimate it and use it if it's stranded? This sounds like a super con.
Yeah,
sounds like if I've ever heard
propaganda.
One. But yeah, fascinating. But what we'll do, you should read these incredible. Here, let's go down to
Larry Potts.
First, residents responded to the intrusion by vacating their porches, retreating inside, and turning up their fans and air conditioners to the max. But many still felt tremors in their beds, including Larry Potts, a 77-year-old retired pastor who lives up the road from the plant. Potts says he stopped sleeping and started losing hearing in both ears. In February, his heart gave out after another sleepless night. He was rushed to the hospital and kept alive by an external pacemaker. There, he was diagnosed with third-degree atrioventricular block.
Easy for you to say.
Hypertension and depression. I'm sick of this world and all this mess around here, he says. He told his wife that day, referring to the Bitcoin's mind noise. We moved out here for the peace and quiet, but this has made me want to go. Some nearby residents say they haven't been affected, but the number of strange medical emergencies in the area have piled up. In addition to Potts, discharge paper, Time reviewed medical records provided by several Granbury residents. Hospital notes from 72-year-old Geraldine Lathers, 3-day stay, documented new prescriptions for high blood pressure and vertigo. Jenna Hornbuckle, 38, lost hearing in her right ear and was diagnosed with heart failure, 38 years old. Ear exam document her hearing loss along with that of her 8-year-old daughter, Victoria, who contracted ear infections that forced doctors to place a tube in her ear. And Avari Burns, a 19-year-old cancer patient, says she suffered from crippling migraines at home, but whenever she went to Fort Worth Hospital for chemotherapy, the migraines subsided. So here you see a magnitude of people suffering from this Bitcoin mining plant that nobody signed up for. They moved in, and it's just wreaking havoc on people's health. And, you know, they're going to eventually get around to doing something about it. But like I said, what I'll do is I will link this article down below for you to continue to read this. It is fascinating, and I wanted you all to, this is a lengthy article, and it's very interesting, and this is going to continue to become more and more of an issue as more and more of these mega mining sites open up, and as more of these data centers open up, like all of the surveillance states, like the Googles and all these different tech companies continue to store all this data that they're collecting on all of us, these issues are going to continue to be more pervasive. So I wanted to touch on that and make y'all aware of it and encourage you to move out into the country and try to select an area where they're not going to be doing this kind of stuff. That's what we did. And that doesn't mean that they couldn't park one in our backyard.
Yeah, that would stink.
That would kind of stink.
Big time.
Okay, yeah. The next thing I wanted to do, I had this pulled up, but I didn't. Let me go to.
Yeah, because we had to redo it again.
I had to reboot. So all I got to do is go to.
History, which is over here.
Where's the history?
Down.
Down. Up. Down. There.
Right there. Yeah.
Okay.
And now you have to find it. There it is.
It's right here.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I'm going to find it first.
Click.
And then it actually stopped it right, I think, where I want it.
Perfect.
And now the audio is working.
Hopefully.
Okay. So in our previous podcast, we were talking about President Trump's assassination attempt, and we were asking different questions. And since then, Chris Martinson from Peak Prosperity, I've been following Chris Martinson for several years now. He has tons of great information. He has lots of awesome economic insight and different things like that. Just a really smart guy. Lots of great information. Well documented. He dots his I's and crosses his T's and all that kind of cool stuff. Well, he started tracking this information on the assassination attempt and sound files with, you know, these different weapons that were potentially used. And maybe there was three potential different weapons and different sounds of ammunition and all this stuff. So he's been tracking this stuff.
Yeah.
And yesterday he brought up the fact that the building immediately behind the building where the supposed MK Ultra assassin was on, that building is semi-connected, but it's a two-story building with a window that literally looks out over the would-be supposed assassin, and you can see the stage where President Trump was standing from this window. And what I found fascinating, and then there's also correlation to the sounds of these gunfire, and maybe there's a possibility that the first three rounds, because of the lack of echo, were taken from inside of a building instead of outside because the echo just wasn't there.
Yeah, the first three shots sounded like they were suppressed.
Much more muffled, yeah.
Very muffled. Yeah, you could just kind of hear them just zinging through the air, just like choo, choo, choo. And then the other ones had more of a tack, tack, tack,
tack, tack.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was another one too that was really loud. That was just like bang, you know.
That was weird. A totally different,
totally different sound.
Different,
yeah.
Different weapon, probably.
Yeah.
So here's what's wild. So we were just getting ready to start the podcast the first time.
Yes.
Before the redo. Mm-hmm. And I was watching this video real quick. And it was a congressional hearing with, let's share screen here.
Yeah. That one.
So it cool. was a congressional hearing. So this is the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle. And this is Lauren Boebert, who I don't really care for her that much. But she's interrogating the Secret Service Director. And previously, the director of the Secret Service said that no one was staged on the roof of the building where the would-be MK Ultra assassin guy was. No one was stationed on that roof because it was of a steep slope and it was dangerous. Now, when everybody saw the footage, all of those buildings are standard 24 or 22 gauge R panel metal standard buildings that are never more than a 212 slope. Incredibly walkable.
Yeah, and where the other snipers were positioned, they were on an even steeper slope than that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and on occasion you can have a 412 and sometimes a 612 with these metal buildings, but most of these metal buildings are a 212 or sometimes a 112. And in this case, this was a very incredibly walkable. Your grandmother on her walker could walk this on a 212
easily.
And so here, Boebert is asking the director if she's sticking to her original story of the roof was too steep for agents to be on.
Here we go. President Trump, before the threat was neutralized, we need to know if he was given an order to hold fire. Now, it's you've excused the roof of being unmanned because of the slope of the roof. Do you continue to assert the slope of the roof as a credible reason for leaving this position undefended?
First, I'll go back and correct that there was no order to hold fire. Our agents and officers have the ability to neutralize a threat at the time.
So you don't know, I'm sorry, you don't know the communication that was taking place or how long he had him in his sights because you haven't spoke to him, but you do know that there was no order to hold fire.
I can tell you the way that our personnel are trained, they are trained on the use of force scale that when they see a threat, they are authorized to neutralize that threat. There is no, they don't have to ask for permission.
Yeah.
You excuse the roof being unmanned because of the slope. Do you stand by that assertion?
The roof was not covered with an individual on it because there was overwatch provided.
Apparently not. No, there was no Overwatch provided. This is very evident.
Okay.
Which that was exactly what Tim Kennedy was saying too.
So if you understand what Overwatch is,
mm-hmm.
it means that that particular area had eyes on it from a vantage point,
mm-hmm.
the perfect vantage point for Overwatch for that particular roof would be the second story window of the adjacent building. Now there's, sure. there's very interesting things about this window. This window is basically directly behind the MK Ultra Patsy guy,
mm-hmm.
about 40 feet from where he was laying, and had a direct line of sight to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Secret Service director, she stated, previously she said nobody was on that roof because it was dangerous, because it was steep. Now she's saying nobody was on that roof because there was Overwatch. So she just said that someone was stationed with eyes on that roof. And when you have eyes on that roof, that means that you maintain eyes on that roof during mm-hmm. the entire time that you are given to have Overwatch, to stand Overwatch. And so I believe that she is admitting to the fact that, well, at a minimum, she's admitting to the fact that somebody had eyes on that roof.
Yes.
The whole entire time that the Patsy guy was climbing all around like a dope on the roof, and everybody was saying, yeah. look, there's a guy on the roof.
The way he was like wiggling all around and stuff, it looked like he was wiggling and getting up and repositioning in a way so everyone that was around there that could obviously see him could see him. It was very interesting. And so if there was Overwatch from that window, that direct line of sight to him.
So,
right?
So Overwatch is going to be on two places.
Okay.
It's going to be from that window.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be from the water tower.
Or the water tower.
And so either one of those places is where you're going to have a vantage point from above.
Yeah.
And so it's from one or the other. And neither of the places spell anything good. And if you're looking for more information, Chris Martinson, Peak Prosperity, has tons of great information. He's putting out an even more detailed video tomorrow. He's going to be covering this stuff.
And we did have some, I would call them super Trumpers, that got very mad at us because we were questioning the narrative. And I don't know how that's terrible by questioning the narrative, because if we don't, you know, we're just falling right into their stupid story in the propaganda, because all the stuff, you know, they're pretty much convicting themselves of this whole entire thing being a straight up setup. My opinion, it is a setup, because if you are saying that there was Overwatch, right? And all of these guys, all these snipers, if they see a threat, they can eliminate it without having to get any permission from the higher ups. So when you have these super tricked out guns with incredible scopes that one of the YouTubers was saying that they can have within a 1-inch group pattern from 500 yards away. Okay. Right. They can easily identify a rifle, and if there is nobody positioned on that roof and he gets up there very clumsily for at least 3 to 10 minutes or however long that duration was there, they should have immediately eliminated him. Also, the weird thing with the police guy that got up the ladder, looked at him, and then he pointed his rifle at him. The guy that was up on the roof pointed the rifle at him, and then he got back down or whatever, and then waited a very long duration. Super weird. Not like these people, like we pay these people to protect us. Like they're in charge, like to do that, right? Like that's their job. And these people keep saying like, you know, oh, well, that was too dangerous for them. I'm like, no, that's their job. Like if they do die, like they signed up. you know, they sign the papers and everything like that. Like, that's their job.
Well, and people with integrity, they listen to these excuses and they're like, it doesn't work like that. We don't train like that. We train to immediately engage and eliminate the target. If we eliminate the threat, it's muscle memory.
Yes.
You know, we identify the target, you eliminate the target. And that's why all of these excuses all of this excuse making, and
it reeks of a setup,
broken logic of you have to put yourself and you got to think about this, that, and
what do you mean?
It's all,
you gotta empathize with them.
Yeah. It's all a total,
just
it's
shut
a
up.
Farce.
Yeah, it is.
But, So Chris is going to be coming out with another video tomorrow. So I would encourage you to check that out. There's definitely at least two shooters. There might be three weapons. So there's some interesting developments there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important information. If you think that we live in a democracy, especially if you are going to vote, and I use that term loosely, if you're going to vote in November,
gotta vote harder, man.
This is really important. It's more important for people that are going to vote hard in November. So I'm just saying, this is important information that we should be aware of and paying attention to. And we shouldn't be worried about Miley Cyrus and whatever they're doing in the NFL and the NBA and all that stuff.
Even bigger news. But Joe Biden dropped out.
Joe Biden dropped out yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Which was very weird.
Yep, so there you go.
Just on a Sunday afternoon.
I wrote down new theory for the secret. Oh, yes. Okay.
Ah.
So I do have a new theory with all of this additional audio and video footage of the rally and assassination attempt. I am waiting. Now, this may not happen, but I'm predicting that if this doesn't happen this time, this will happen in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for a deep fake video to be thrust into the public and go viral on Twitter.
Okay.
And then there'll be something in that deep fake video of the assassination attempt, and they will debunk the deep fake video and reveal it as a deep fake. And then they'll say, that's why we can't trust any of this footage.
Mm-hmm.
From the assassination attempt, and it'll be totally a psyop to discredit all of the audio and video footage of the assassination attempt.
Yeah, which there was already a deep fake video made of it too.
Oh, was there?
Yes, it was. You know, at first when you look at it, you're like, "Oh my goodness, this is incredible footage," right? And then these guys were like, "Yeah, that's totally deep fake," but it was a zoomed in shot of Trump's ear when he turned. And also what gave it away is the idiots. It was on the wrong side. It was the wrong ear too. But anyway, that was kind of the funny part of literally the bullet piercing his ear and everything like that. And it looked really legit, but it was just the wrong ear. So yeah, it was very interesting. So that just muddies the water, you know, with this whole thing with AI and deepfake and the incredible things that they can do with just being able to manipulate the narrative is incredible.
Yeah, my next prediction with Joe Biden stepping down, I think that the Democratic Party will have to now answer the question, like, if he's not fit to run, he clearly isn't fit to be president. So they would have to do that article or whatever, or do that thing in Congress to remove him as president. And then that would make Kamala the president. So Kamala, she would get Kamala. Her 5 months or whatever in the spotlight. Mm. And that'll make the Dems look like they're not just steamrolling past her to put in Gavin Newsom. And that would also give her plenty of time in the public eye and more speaking time to make herself look like an even bigger idiot so that they can say, now you can see why we're like passing on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look
like a good theory.
They are just blowing past her. It gives the whole entire Democratic Party kind of an out to circumvent Kamala. And she was a useful idiot for her time. She's probably even going to get to pretend to be El Presidente, So welcome to America 2024.
Yeah.
Postmodern, post-truth America.
Yeah.
Kamala, Camacho. Y'all, and I've never seen the mockumentary that is Idiocracy. I've never seen that movie, but all I could think about when Hulk Hogan was at the RNC, all I think could think about was President Camacho. And it was incredibly, it was art imitating life, imitating art, imitating stupid people. And it was incredibly troubling. And to me, it was mocking the general population. And, you know, we're all in the panopticon together.
It was a big entertainment.
But it was very
Christianese.
I was not entertained.
No,
I was shocked and appalled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this passes for like, it's all about the pop culture, y'all. It's all about the pop culture.
It's crazy.
Look who endorses me, and it's insane. But anyway, okay. Yeah. We'll get off all that stuff. So we want to announce August 3rd from 10 to 12, we are having another meetup in real life at Bob Wells Nursery in Mineola, 10 to 12. I think we're going to do a potluck.
Yeah.
We sent out an email.
So any type of good food y'all want to bring, you can bring it. There was a lot of carnivores last time, so preferably meat. So we're going to be bringing some type of
any meat-based barbecues, bring it on over.
Yeah.
And we're going to enjoy a great time of hanging out and talking and networking. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that. Saturday, August 3rd from 10 to 12.
Yep.
Bob Wells. Did you want to make the
also cow announcement? We have sold a cow and a half now, and we do have a little bit more room because we're going to be taking some more cows into the butcher shop here pretty soon. So if you do want to get on the list, email us at countrytexasboys@gmail.com. And we are selling whole, halves, and quarters. And the whole and the halves are going for $9 a pound. And the quarters are going for $10 a pound. And that is grass-fed, grain-finished, at beef. And yeah, so just wanted to give y'all an update on that. We had a lot of people reach out, and it's been great. Thank you. And definitely appreciate everybody, jumping on that. It was kind of like a little bit last second. We were like, oh, we're taking them in now. So anyway, but so contact us if you are interested. It is only for local pickup only, Mount Pleasant, Texas, in the Northeast Texas area. So you can look that up. It will be at the Mount Pleasant Atwoods for the pickup date. When we do schedule the pickup date, we will be bringing it in a cooler. Well, actually, we'll be bringing it straight from the processor in a pickup truck. So you'll have to bring your coolers and everything like that. But if you want all of that info, you can just email us and we'll give you all the info that you'll need. Try to answer all of your questions. And we normally do the deposits on the website, but since the website is down temporarily right now for the whole beef deal, what we're doing is when you do email us, email your name, your last name, and your phone number, because we just text you the deposit if you do want to purchase a whole half or a quarter of a cow. So, and sorry, I have to correct myself too. It's not a cow, it's a steer. So there you go. Because I know there's going to be a couple country boys on there and be like,
why are you killing a cow?
Why are you going to kill a cow? No, it's a steer.
Killing one of them black cows?
It's a steer.
What kind of cows you got? Black cows?
Alrighty.
All right, y'all. Verse of the day.
Verse of the day.
I'm going to encourage y'all. Psalm 37, 1 through 4. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Hmm.
So I hope that that encourages you. The evil, envious workers of iniquity will be cut down soon like the grass. And look, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
It's God's job.
Perfect judge. So,
I'm glad that that's his job and not mine.
Yeah, for real.
So that is the verse of the day. Hope it encouraged y'all. I guess to wrap up, we have around the farm and health check. So what's
around the farm? We got a horse trailer, and that's been a really fun project. I've been filming James. I've been just letting him have it because he really loves doing it. And he loves working by himself too. Most of the time, unless it's projects that we're doing on the construction company.
16 hours a day.
Yeah. He finds it very peaceful and he enjoys that. So, yeah, that's very exciting. We are putting, we put some halo lights in there. We meaning him, put some halo lights in there. He's installing a wired in Bluetooth speaker system in there, which is going to be awesome for playing audiobooks at night and different music and stuff like that. Just kind of like future proofing it. So our plans with it is to use it for like maybe a year or so, and then just kind of reevaluate and see if we really want to keep using it or sell it, because we did get it for a pretty smoking good deal. And yeah, so that's been really awesome. We're doing beadboard and shiplap on that. So it's going to look super sweet.
If you want to follow the transformation, they're running shorts. So you can follow the shorts on the YouTube channel.
Doing shorts on the YouTube channel. Yeah. So I'll actually probably tonight I'll go out there and film another short.
Very cool.
Because he got the speaker system in today. What else? Around the farm, everything's been booming. You got a tennis ball size fig.
Yeah, we even picked a couple apples. So these are
really?
This is the first year that we've gotten some sizable apples off the apple trees. They're probably about 5 years old. But the figs have been incredible this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting lots of figs every day. We've got some apples. We're getting a lot of peaches. But it's a really great year for fruit, and it just keeps raining, which has been
unusual. I just wanted to plant this seed too with y'all is don't forget this fall when everything goes dormant, the food forest in the box will be available, and we are going to be adding some pretty cool stuff to the food forest in the box. Lord willing, we are going to be putting comfrey in the food forest in the box. I would really hope that we could put elderberry cuttings back in the food forest in the box.
You should be able to.
The original OG food forest in the box had elderberry cuttings in it, and Snowmageddon absolutely destroyed them for some crazy reason, and they've been struggling, but they've actually came back and they've been doing pretty good right now. Not as good as like the second year we had them, because they were like almost invasive at that point.
They were.
I don't know why that's changed.
I'm almost kind of glad that they
kind of chilled out.
They're very easy to bring back around.
All the trees we're going to have thousands of cuttings. So it's going to be great. And everybody loved the food forest in the box last year.
We'll have some specialty cuttings too, like different specialty mulberries, maybe some different specialty figs.
All those specialty trees have at least doubled in size now. Very exciting. Stay tuned for that this coming fall for all the awesome fruit tree cuttings and the food forest in the box that will be available. What else? I think that's it. Health check real quick. Still healthy, still doing good. Amiss other people's sicknesses and stuff like that. Still going strong with the carnivore diet. Have been getting actually more intense with it, at least me, just being more not so lackadaisical on it. And just actually last week I did 1 pound of beef a day, and that was really awesome. Today I did beef. I did like 1/4 pound of beef with like 10 or 11 eggs. And then I put some cheese on it. So I made like some cheesy beef eggs. It was incredible. And it's been awesome. And I've been really liking it. also doing with my training, mixing it up, doing less volume. So I was normally working out every 24 hours. So now I'm going to be working out, at least for this week, I'm going to try it out because I was watching some videos. It's always good for your body, at least in my opinion, to mix it up. Mm-hmm. It seems like that to me. Like certain people be like, oh, well, if, you know, mixing it up even with your like fasting, you know, just not doing it. I don't know, when your body kind of gets in a rut, you don't really see much progress. But then when you just kind of add a blip to the system, like it'll like reset you and you'll get better gains and stuff like that. So I'm going to be resting for 48 hours and then training. And then when I do, I'm going to practice with training. I've been doing a lot to failure too, but actually just doing one set, getting the weight so I can only do about 10 reps and then hitting failure. And that's it. Instead of doing three sets to, you know, sure, 12 or so. Great. So I'm going to try that out. More rest mixed with, you know, keeping my diet real steady with high fat and high protein with all the beef and the eggs. And the cheese is, if you are struggling in the carnivore diet or a strict keto diet, cheese is where it's at. Get some block cheese, some real clean block cheese, and you can shred it. It's incredible. They have all types of different types of cheeses nowadays at our local Brookshire's anyway. And that, you know, it's a game changer.
And we got the weight sled. So we're going to be incorporating the weight
finally,
sled.
Finally, we got the weight sled. Finally. So we've been watching, and I always forget his first name. I can always remember his second name.
Who's Sean Baker?
Yeah, Sean Baker. Yeah, Sean Baker, literally Superman himself. Every time I watch that guy work out, it's like incredible. I'm like, I'm literally watching Superman right now. And he's big on the weight sled. His has wheels though, which is kind of like a weighted cart actually, which is really cool, but it's really expensive. So we got like the hillbilly version of it. And I actually put like three feed sacks on there, which I can put my weights on there too. Yeah. And it's just, it came with a harness. So you can just run as fast as you can. With like, I put tonight like 120 pounds on there, and it's so awesome because doing those sprints, a lot of guys have been doing a lot of researches on doing like as hard and as fast as you can, but only for like 30 seconds or so. And they're saying like they're coming back with really, really good results in the studies. So
yeah. High intensity intentional training or something. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, just mixing it up, you know, throwing your body something a little bit different, you know.
Yep. So the health check's good. I've been doing pool exercises every day. I'm getting greater range of motion, and we're just feeling great and doing the best we can,
thriving,
trying a little bit better every day.
Yeah, 1%.
And 1% a day,
that's all you got to do. Just
get 1% better every day.
In 100 days, 100%.
Be 100% better.
There you go. Little food for thought. And I think that wraps it up.
That wraps it up, y'all.
Episode 63.
All right. We love y'all. Thanks for listening. And remember, y'all, stay fearless, my friends.